Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
Nuggets continue their inevitable march to the number one overall seed in the West as they dismantle Memphis 128-103 at the sack last night. They sat Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon. Hey, little load management. You pick and choose. You get these games against opponents like Memphis. You figure, hey, even with the backups, we should be able to win. And that proved to be the case as Reggie Jackson had 15 starting in place of Jamal Murray. How about Christian Brown? 17 more points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. Playing really well and admiring and enjoying playing alongside Nikola Jokic.
You know, I just hope, you know, the fans and everybody that watches him, you know, really appreciates how good he is and just his greatness that he shows up in, you know, every single night. You know, he's been really good. And so I just hope the fan base, you know, appreciates and understands, you know, how difficult it is to do what he's doing every single night, showing up to work every single day. You know, that's why he's so great.
By the way, Michael Malone after the game, and we'll play this clip for you a little bit later on, said, there's so many great things to say about Nikola Jokic. Add this one to it. That on a night in which it would have been easy for a superstar to just kind of go through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we're already sitting Gordon. We're already sitting Jamal Murray. We're kind of, you know, letting everybody know that we don't take this opponent that seriously. You know, a superstar could go out and coast. But as Malone said, Jokic really enjoys playing in these kind of games because he really genuinely enjoys helping these young players get better.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
You saw some, you know, it's amazing. We always talk about the two-man game between Murray and between Joker, but I just think it's Joker. And I'm not disregarding what Murray does, but he's got that two-man game. Strother had a couple of dishes and like, You go back and watch Reggie Jackson. Like, I think Nikola just makes it easy on everybody. He's just great. You see his fast break dunk too. How about that, Nikola? I didn't even know he could dunk. I mean, I knew he could dunk.
He's had what's the stat? He's had more triple doubles
than dunks
in his career.
Oh yeah, by far.
Jokic, by the way, the smooth 31 minutes, 29 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists. 3 steals. Ho-hum. Oh, no. I can't say ho-hum because Christian Brown just said don't take him for granted. Sorry, Christian. Sorry, CB.
Yeah.
You're right. We are not taking him for granted. Sean Payton, how do you feel about the perception the Broncos are in rebuild mode?
You know, in our league, it's you regroup and you get ready to play. And so we're still in the midst of assembling our roster and you know, I don't, if you paid attention to that, you know, there's a ton of different seasons I've been a part of that, you know, never would have had the success we had relative to the expectations. I think we got to get better in a lot of areas. We're excited to do that.
So, okay, to take him at his word then, as you look at this team as they are constructed right now, what kind of team are they? And are there any other moves they can make here in the recycle bin of lost and found free agency and the draft that would make you take wherever you think they are and move them to another level?
I don't know that it would make me move them to another level, Mike, but there's a lot of guys out there that are good players that are kind of biding their time. And so there are some corners on the market. There's some safeties on the market. I don't know if you know this, but Justin Simmons is on the market.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Telling you there's a chance.
Reunited and it feels so good.
Exactly. So, I mean, there's a bunch of different players. So if you don't fill the holes in the draft that you intend to fill, there's still options out there that will, I don't know that they catapult you all of a sudden. I don't think there's any free agent that catapults you into a playoff team, but there are teams there are definitely out players out there that will help you. That
but
will increase
enough to dispel the idea that they're rebuilding, because that's how we
No. They know they're rebuilding,
but he said they're not, or he wouldn't admit to it.
Well, I mean, nobody admits to it, but what are you supposed to say? What would you like him to say? Yeah, we don't got a chance this year. You know, relative to where we are with our roster, he always gives a relative to. We don't have a chance, so you might as well not renew your tickets. And,
no, you're right. You're right.
That's what they do.
They don't do that. They do not come out and admit that. George Payton. So George hears you, folks. He hears you. He knows you're upset with him. He knows that you blame him for everything. He knows all the heat he's caught for the Russell Wilson signing. And he acknowledged it yesterday.
Yeah, Mike, we took a shot on a quarterback who had had a lot of success in this league. I don't know, 9 Pro Bowls, won the most games first 10 years in the league. And it wasn't just Russ. I mean, there's a lot of contributing factors to why we didn't win. But, you know, at the end of the day, we didn't play good enough offense. We didn't win enough games. I'm accountable for that. And so I'll just leave it at that. You know, Russ, no one tried harder than Russ to make this work. I appreciate the effort, the professionalism he showed. Man, total pro. Wish him the best in Pittsburgh. He's going to a good team, and just wish him the best.
So he did say he's accountable, but I heard a lot of going out of his way to defend Russ and to defend the move. Hey, he'd been to 9 Pro Bowls. Nobody had won more games.
Sure.
It wasn't all just Russ.
Yeah.
I mean, it went from being part it's of all it about was, Russ to, hey, it wasn't all
part
about
of
Russ.
It was you hiring Hackett. Part of it was, you know, there's a lot that, I mean, the Hackett thing was, there's no question. We've already discussed this ad nauseum, but the Hackett thing was purely because he thought he was going to get Rodgers. So there were a lot of mistakes made. And he was right. You know, Russ had won a ton of games.
Russell, can you hear me?
I think the biggest part was you acquiesced to everything he wanted. As opposed to saying, no, we're going to hire you, but we're going to put you in this particular offense and we're going to make you run it. And as opposed to saying, yeah, we're going to give you free reins to be Drew Brees, which you're not. Never will be. Anyhow.
I was booing myself.
Mm-hmm.
He is so collaborative.
Yes, he is.
Finally, the Avalanche home tonight against Montreal. Last night, Vegas beat St. Louis in overtime to hold on to that final wild card spot. And if the Avalanche win tonight, they'll pass the Canucks and move into the number one spot in the West, which would mean, at least for now, a first-round matchup with Vegas. Boy, Vegas, they play the LTIR game. You know what that is?
The LTIRL.
LTIR.
T. LT.
Yep.
Morris Taylor, IR. Injured.
Long-term injured reserve, where you can put a player on LTIR, use his salary to go out and add to your current roster with the knowledge that come playoff time, those players that are on LTR can come back and play in the playoffs with no salary cap ramifications. And nobody has been better or worse, however you choose to look at it, than Vegas at exposing and exploiting that loophole. Right now, they have $22 million worth of salary on LTIR.
That
which
if
is,
it comes off,
which is 25% of the overall NHL team's salary cap.
So they can come out and not have any of that?
So basically they can go into the playoffs with a roster that has a salary cap of, let's say, $83 million. And for the playoffs, all of a sudden can have a roster that has a payroll of up over $100 million.
But it doesn't count.
They don't have to get rid of those players. They don't have to move any of those players.
They could. So theoretically, you can bring Landeskog back.
Yep. But not have to make any other roster moves.
Well, you can only have so many guys on your roster, right?
True.
So you got to dump a couple of guys.
True.
But you're not dumping salary for salary.
And they're still available.
Right.
They're still available. They're just not on your current playoff roster for that series. That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the Denver sports scene. Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco insider, joins us live from the owners' meetings in Orlando next.
Ever since we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house, even in my hiding spots.
Ha! Found ya.
How?
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. Now through March 21st, get started with 200 megabit internet for $25 a month for 2 years with no annual contract and get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and Wi-Fi equipment. Actual speeds vary.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Let's head down to Orlando, Florida, where it's a lot warmer than it is here, and the NFL owners' meetings are going on, but all the coaches and coordinators are there, and it's a great time to be around the NFL and talk to a lot of NFL people, and that's what our very own Mike Kliss, 9 News Bronco Insider, is doing as he joins us there live. Mike, let's start with what we just saw come across the wire, that the NFL owners have approved the new kickoff rule. Can you summarize what's going to be changing there for fans listening?
Well, it's going to be a real gimmicky look. You're going to have the kicker kicking off at the 35, right? And the other 10 coverage guys are going to be, I think, maybe 10 yards in front of them, maybe more than that. And the opponent, the return team, is going to have 9 guys within 10 yards. So they're trying to keep it safe and not have the full-blown run-down-the-field collisions. They're going to be within 10 yards of each other, the collisions, the blocking, the avoiding the blocking. And then you're going to have one or two returners back between the goal line and the 20. If they're trying to take the touchback away, if you have a touchback, the ball comes out to the 30 now instead of the 25. So that's a big point of the rule. But the kickoffs, Will Lutz is going to try to drop it into a zone between the zero and or between the goal line and the 20-yard line. And again, the coverage team's going to be well ahead of the kicker lined up to make the cat tackle and still try to pin them deep. But we'll also open up the return and open up the possibility that, if you break that line, if the returner happens to break that line, which is going to be pretty well downfield, got a chance for a big return. So they're hoping for more exciting plays off the kickoff while still keeping it safe. It's going to look strange. They borrowed it from the XFL, I do believe. I did watch the XFL this year, but I didn't pay attention to the kickoffs that much. I'm going to have to go back and review, but it's going to be a really, really different look. To me, it's a little too far extreme, but they're willing to give it a chance to add a more exciting play here.
Yeah, it is kind of hokey, a little bit gimmicky.
Yeah.
Yeah, but,
Yeah, it's like putting a runner at second and if in extra innings in baseball, that's not real. That's slow pitch softball, not baseball, but I guess it works a little bit in baseball, and the NFL is more than any other sport doesn't mind changing the rules. And this is a different one. I will say the Broncos are for it. Sean Payton is for it. He likes the rule. I think in large part, because he likes his special teams coaches. He thinks Mike Westhoff and Ben Kotwicka and Chris Banjo are going to figure this out better than the other special teams coaches are, and that's going to be key. And then, two, he's got a real good returner in Marvin Mims. So that's why I think Sean Payton likes this rule.
Yeah, they'll figure it out better than anybody else, just like Sean will figure out the quarterback position better than anybody else because – he said so. So what's the word with the quarterback position right now? And seems to be all the buzz about J.J. McCarthy. Now the Washington Commanders getting in the mix saying they, like him at number 2. So what are you hearing and what do you think is going to ultimately end up here happening for Denver in regards to the quarterback?
Well, first of all, at these owners meetings, what I've learned over the years, and this is roughly the 19th one I've gone to, what is said here is always interesting, but you don't necessarily have to believe it. Sean was talking about yesterday, was asked about trading up from 12, and he was saying that's very realistic. And he mentioned the number four spot, Monty Ozenfort, the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals. He's the guy with all the cards to be played. And now I still think it's going to be real tough for the Broncos to go from 12 to number four. But, I talked to Kevin O'Connell today, the Vikings coach, and he's very aware of the Broncos. I think it's the Vikings at 11 and the Broncos at 12 and to some extent the Raiders at 13. They're all in the quarterback market and they're all going to be jockeying for position. Apparently, the belief is the Vikings and the Broncos both like J.J. McCarthy. And they're going to be jockeying for position to get to that number four, to be the number four team to pick, number four quarterback team to pick and go for J.J. McCarthy. But that also could be, Sean Payton already liking Michael Penix or already liking Bo Nix, and he wants the Vikings to think that. So we'll see how it is. But nothing has changed other than, putting up some smoke screens out there. It's still very much the top three, I think. I think it's clear-cut the top three, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and then there's the second three, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, and Michael Penix.
By the way, just for rumor, everyone loves a good rumor, Mike Tannenbaum, yeah, former NFL GM, now with ESPN, said he believes that Arizona's willing to trade Kyler Murray because they covet J.J. McCarthy, and that Kyler Murray could be available to teams like the Vikings or the Broncos. Could you see a potential Kyler Murray fit here?
No, I don't. He seems similar. Maybe, I haven't studied Kyler Murray, but it seems like he would be in the same group as Russell Wilson. An athletic quarterback who runs. I'm not sure. I haven't watched Kyler Murray to see if he's quicker with processing and getting rid of the ball as Russell Wilson. But it seems like they're kind of the same type of quarterback, the athletic type, who are better off script than they are executing the play. That might be, we know the reasons why Sean Payton didn't want Russell Wilson. I thought it was telling yesterday when asked, I asked him about if you, to score more points in 2024, you have to do what?
Yeah, I remember this.
And he said, number one, got to take fewer sacks.
Yep.
And I thought, and then he kind of just said there's a lot that goes into it and didn't want to go into it further. But the fact that he right away and mentioned only one thing, and that's fewer sacks, I think that says a lot about why Russell Wilson is no longer on the Broncos.
Yeah, I had the same reaction when I heard that. Great question and great answer. Mike, thank you very much. Good work down there. We'll keep following you, and we appreciate the time. Thank you.
See you guys.
You can follow Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco Insider. Follow him on Twitter at Mike Kliss 9 News, or on X or whatever you're calling it these days. Coming up next in What's Trending, you'll hear yet another comment from Sean Payton regarding Russell Wilson that probably speaks to how over Russ Sean is. That is next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
Boy, Sean Payton doesn't really hide his
disdain.
Disdain, contempt for Russell Wilson. As Mike Kliss just told us, and I was watching the press conference, it was funny because Mike asked Sean, what do you have to do to be better on offense next year? And first thing out of his mouth, we have to take less sacks. And then he was asked also in that same press conference, was taking the salary cap hit hard to swallow?
No. I mean, it's always difficult when you take on a cap hit like that. We spent some time deciding how we were going to take that, and then we move forward.
No.
Nope.
Was it hard? Nope.
Nope.
Oh, now I got to. Now I got. Now we're gonna say something else. Two, four.
Yeah. Nope, it wasn't. I considered the alternative, keeping Russ, and I thought, nope. Pretty easy.
Oh.
Pretty easy. Gosh, that's
believing
good.
Believing it. Believing it.
Nope.
Take less sacks. Boy, I tell you what. You know what this really goes to show you? It's just what a patient and kind man Pete Carroll was all those years.
Oof.
Sean does not have that same ability to sweep everything under the rug. He's going to let you know, based on his answers and his body language, exactly how he feels.
This man is a saint.
God. Well, it's going to happen. See you. The women will play Caitlin Clark and Iowa in the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament. Coming up here in a few days as Iowa, with a much harder than expected game against West Virginia, got by them. So CU played and lost to Iowa last year in the NCAAs. They get another chance at Caitlin Clark. And, hey, this is a big one. Because Mark Caitlin Clark is the biggest name, the biggest star, the biggest draw, the biggest attraction, the biggest nuisance, however you want to look at her, in men's or women's college basketball.
No question.
And CU gets a crack at her.
Yeah, you know who went to the game last night? George Kittle and his wife, both Iowa folk. Went to that game last night against West Virginia. She's a huge draw, man. She's awesome. Good. I don't know what her numbers were, but I'm sure they were.
She
incredible.
Scored half of her team's points.
Yeah.
Wow.
Seventh time in her career that she's scored at least half of her team's points.
Wow.
Yep. She's awesome. She is awesome.
So that matchup comes up on Saturday at 1:30 our time, Iowa, and. CU, the ladies going at it. So we learned this about Dan Hurley, who is the basketball coach at UConn, the heavy favorite to win the NCAA championship this year. So apparently, as Tracy Wolfson on the broadcast with CBS and Ian Eagle, we found out about one of Hurley's weird superstitions.
Dan Hurley is the king of superstitions, especially on game day. He has to have 8 M&Ms before every game. He has to have a cup of bulletproof coffee on the sidelines at all times, and do not knock it over. And he has to wear the same suit and socks and shoes and, yes, the same Red Dragon underwear. And don't worry, it is clean. His wife, Andrea, travels with a portable washing machine. I mean, you can't make that up, Ian.
And apparently they travel a Maytag repairman with them as part of the crew. No, they do not. Who has a portable washing machine? I didn't even know that existed.
A portable washing machine? Come on.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
If anybody was to know about the existence of a portable washing machine, it'd be you.
Yeah, there's a little, she's got a board with some, you know, some ribs on it, and you put it in the sink, go with a bar of soap. I've washed my clothes on the road. In
a portable washing machine?
No, in the bathtub, no, in the shower. No,
I've seen this. I went and looked it up. It's like a literal little washing machine. It's got the little agitators in there and swishes things around. And
no, I get in the shower with
your
my clothes on, and I just use the bar of soap to scrub my clothes to get the pits clean, because that's where, you know, the smell hides. Get the undercarriage of the underpants good and soaped up, because, you know, there's a little residue.
Okay. All right.
And then you hang it up to dry. Clean as a whistle, Mike. I've done that many a time.
Okay. Should do a new segment called Traveling with Stink.
Uh-huh.
Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow, this... you and I were joking about it during a break. This is like one of the mob movies. Am I out of bounds in saying I could just see what's happening? The interpreter's just being like, "Hey, thank you for taking the fall. We will never forget.
Oh,
you'll be taken care of.
It's like the
your family will be taken care of.
You know, it's like the guy, the Spygate
will remember
video guy.
Yes,
The Patriots.
Just disappeared.
Just disappeared.
Just gone.
Took the fall. Disappeared.
Disappeared. It's being taken care of for life. Yeah. Same type of thing.
Because nobody believes that Shohei Ohtani was completely clueless on all this, right?
Yeah,
nobody believes that.
He always gave his account and count numbers to his interpreter, where his interpreter could just take millions and millions
of
dollars.
$4.5 million, right.
$4.5 million without his knowledge of it.
A guy that he's been friends with, a guy that he was, chatting up friendly in the dugout literally hours before this all
went down.
Well, you knew P. Rose would have a take on all this.
As he should.
Here he is.
Well, back in the 70s and 80s, I wish I'd have had an interpreter. I'd be scot-free.
Just blame it on it? Yeah. Pete Rose is like, darn it.
Yeah.
I didn't have a fall guy.
Why didn't I have an interpreter?
I didn't have a stooge.
Yeah. Where's my guy? Yeah.
Well, Major League Baseball has said they've unleashed a full investigation. It will not rest until they get to the bottom of this. Right.
We will not sleep until we have every detail of this cad who stole money from Shohei.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they'll get to the bottom of it. That is what is a trending. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Up next, Sean Payton had something to say about Jarrett Stidham that led me to giving Mark a Telestrator Tuesday assignment. You'll find out what Mark finds out next.
It's Telestrator Tuesday.
John Elway, that was a bootleg pass. We talked about the cross. And remember I said how they run those crosses on you? They run those crosses, then you jump up on those crosses, and they get that post in behind you.
Stig takes you into the classroom using the exclusive game film only the Broncos coaches have access to.
If you look at this play, what we're trying to get is a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with Telestrator Tuesday.
So, yesterday at his press conference, Sean Payton was asked by our very own Cecil Lammy, good question, that Cecil's question was, at some point, is a player, this is who he is. He's arrived at that point, he's hit that ceiling, and this is just who he is. And is that the case with Jarrett Stidham? And Sean had this to say to Cecil.
I just don't think we're there. And so, generally speaking, I do think that's something that the fans, the media, and the coaches probably arrived there within a week or two of each other. But in fairness to him, I'm anxious to see where that spot is that we say, all right, that's it. I don't think we've seen it yet.
Okay, so Sean at least saying, nope, I don't believe we've seen enough yet to say this is who Jarrett Stidham is. So I gave you as your assignment today for Telestrator Tuesday, go back and take another look, maybe with a different perspective at Jarrett Stidham. And you looked at the two games that he started at the end of the season. So what about it, Stink? Do you see some evidence that there is more room for Jarrett Stidham to grow and develop?
Well, I don't think there's any question that there's more room. At what point do you hit that ceiling? You know, here's the things I like. I thought he had really good pocket awareness, and he stayed within the confines of the pocket, even under duress. And when he did have to escape, he didn't try to escape and outrun everybody off the edge and take big-time sacks. He tried to escape up the middle and then either made a play or, scrambled, or if he did take a sack, it was limited yardage. You know, it was a minus two or three or whatever. So I thought those things, he threw some balls away. He did some really good things. I thought there were times where his accuracy wasn't great in the pocket because lack of reps, lack of experience, getting to something a little bit late. And what I always say, when you're late, you're inaccurate. Why? Because you end up trying to speed up your mechanics to get on time. Because you know you're late getting there, right? You hitch up and then you look and you should have already been there. Well, you're going to be a little bit late with the football. And that lends itself to being inaccurate. But I also saw some things where I saw him throw, guys to a spot that didn't adjust to that spot. Basically throwing guys, communicating defensive leverage with ball placement. Basically saying, hey, listen, man, here's a guy going to come up and hit you in the teeth. I'm going to throw you over here a little bit, even though you're running a little spot route and your feet are stopped. I want you to go. Use your momentum. Get to that spot where guys are just standing there and then trying to reach for the football as opposed to moving toward the football. So, again, those things, I think, come with more time. You get used to him communicating ball placement, yeah, where you want him to be. Like, those are things that don't just come overnight. And let's face it, I mean, he didn't take any reps. You know, during the regular season, he wasn't taking reps. He was taking scout team reps. So you could see some of those inadequacies or inaccuracies. Like, I think there's a lot of room for growth and improvement. I don't know what that ceiling is. But like I said, some of the things that intrigued me were how he operated inside the pocket, how he stayed inside the pocket. And you know, I'll give you the last one that needs to improve dramatically for Jared Stidham is his off-platform throws. When he's climbing toward the line of scrimmage and somebody's right in front of him, he'll make a nice throw. But when he's got to come off and throw it opposite his body mechanics and all that stuff, the things you always just see Patrick Mahomes and you're like, damn, like that was a dime. He didn't have that.
Stuff that Russ can do.
Yeah. Yes, even stuff that Russ can do. That he didn't have that. And I don't know, like, can you get better at that stuff? Absolutely, the more reps you get. But some of that stuff is just God-given talent.
Well, let's make this then a true apples-to-apples conversation, hopefully. If the Broncos went 8-9 last year with, you know, the majority of the starts from Russell Wilson, if Jared Stidham is quarterbacking that team all year last year,
yeah,
what's their record?
I would say it's pretty close. I would say there's probably a couple games that Russ won, that Russ was able to win with just unbelievable. The throw to Cortland Sutton, like, I'm sorry, but Stidham ain't making that throw.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of those throws that won the Broncos games late that Stidham's not going to make. So I'm saying instead of 8 wins, you're talking about maybe 6.
6.
But, you know, then I would also say there are some things that he would be, as he got more playing time, that he'd be more on time with, and that offense, and he would have taken less sacks, and, you know, and therefore they would have won a few games that they lost because of those things. So you never know. I mean, it'd have been close to the same record, because if you're not taking as many sacks and you're not, you know, putting yourself in harm's way as much, how much more of an opportunity you have to win those games. So it might have worked itself out to being close to the same, Mike, but there's, like, the off-platform stuff, the off-schedule stuff, Russ is just
But you see in Stidham a guy that you see room for growth when it comes to reading defenses, making decisions, getting rid of the football, putting guys in position to make plays after the catch.
Getting through a progression, yes,
well,
absolutely.
The reason I bring that up is because, well, this seems to be what Sean Payton's looking for.
I'd like to find out how they process, how quickly it comes. You know, if we send them information at 5 p.m. the prior day, and we send them more than we think that they're going to have a chance to study. Like, we've all been in that position. Now, it may not have been football, but 5 p.m. on a college Thursday, test on Friday, and more than we have enough time to study. How do they handle that? Where's the break point the next day? Is there one? Do they handle it really well? Do they really struggle?
Giving us a glimpse into what they try to throw at these young prospects,
mm-hmm,
to see how they handle it.
Yeah.
Because that's what matters the most to Sean. I'm going to throw a lot at you.
Right.
And you're going to have to be a supercomputer out there figuring this all out and processing it and going out and playing the position the way I want you to. Can you handle it?
How much information can you assimilate And can you go out there, regurgitate, and know where you're supposed to go, what you're supposed to do, what the read is, where you're getting to, all those things? Yeah, absolutely, Mike. And all those things are really important. As a matter of fact, I think at any position, not just the quarterback position, but at any position, your ability to process information is far greater than your ability to be, you know, a really fast 40 or a really good vertical jump or a really good bench press test. Your ability to see it, to process it, and to make the right decisions is the biggest indicator of your ability to be a good football player.
Good stuff. Good insight. Time to hit the hardwood, brought to you by Papa Murphy's. Speaking of good insight, what the Nuggets are doing coming down the stretch here, still very much intent on trying to grab the number one seed, but you can kind of now see the game that Michael Malone is playing here, is that he recognizes there are some opponents there that, look, even with us sitting a couple of our key guys, we should still be able to win. Play Portland the other night without Jamal and without Nikola. Play Memphis yesterday without Jamal and without Aaron Gordon. You know, we can still find a way to get those wins, still stay true to the what I said at the trade deadline. Hey, I'm not going to put health ahead of trying to get the number one seed. I'm going to keep the bigger picture in mind. But it's clear, look at the schedule, that he sees some opportunities to do both.
Yeah. At Portland, he did.
Yep.
Then here against Memphis, same thing.
So it's a good insight from Malone yesterday. Is we got a chance to see a lot of the young players really get a chance to play. Christian Brown's playing well. Peyton Watson seems to have gotten the wake-up call from the other night. He played well last night. Julian Strother, back from the G League. He got some very valuable minutes. And so Malone had this to say about the message that he gave to Julian Strother and how Strother deserves credit for how he handled it.
Funny, man. Like, young players especially, they look at the G League as punishment.
I got to go to Grand Rapids.
Yeah, go play. We're a really good team, man. Not a lot. We don't have minutes for everybody. And so if you can go play real minutes in a controlled basketball game in Grand Rapids, Michigan, where we're hopefully trying to do a lot of the same things offensively and defensively, go make the most of that opportunity.
And then when you're up from the G League or you're one of the other young players that have been on the bench here for a while, how do you get better while maybe not playing as much?
I challenge all young players, when you're not playing, don't be looking in the stands. Watch the game. Learn something. Watch great players on your team, but also the opponents who you may not see every night. Try to pick something up every night.
There's always a lot of debate about Michael Malone and his strengths and weaknesses, and I hear routinely from the Michael Malone critics, even as he's a reigning NBA championship coach. But two of his undeniable strengths and two of his coaching staff's undeniable strengths, clearly they have created a culture, they've created an identity, and the players buy in. And he has a real good finger on the pulse of what his team is and how they'll react. And he knows how to come out after games that he doesn't like the performance, call them out, seems very confident in how they're going to respond. So he's very good at that. The other thing I think this staff is very underrated, I think it's a huge storyline this season, is how they've been able to go about their business with a giant bullseye on their back as defending champions and yet still develop a number of young players. Yeah. That's almost unheard of.
Yeah, they have.
In the modern NBA.
Dude, just we talked about this 6 weeks ago. 6 weeks ago, the big kind of talking point, the big topic, and it was all over national shows as well, worried about the Nuggets' depth. So only kind of bugaboo going into the playoffs is health. Obviously, they got to be healthy, but their depth, their bench depth, oh, they got to develop some bench depth. What are they going to do? Did you have any concern about their bench right now after watching the last few weeks unfold and how he's managed the health of his superstars and how when the guys have been called on to play off the bench, how they've played, whether it's Christian Brown, whether it's Peyton Watson last night being good, whether it's Gillespie, every time he comes in, he knocks down shots, he plays hard. Like all these different guys who have contributed, DeAndre Jordan, has been, Jordan has been awesome in the last couple of games that he's got a bunch of time to play. And I know he's a veteran player, so he's been there before, and he's been an NBA superstar. But, like, he loves his role. And when he goes in, he's fresh, he's ready to roll. Like, all that talk 6 weeks ago, I just look at it now, and, like, I don't have any concerns about what they've got coming off their bench. Do you? Are you concerned at all?
No, because you're only really playing 7 or 8 guys. Yeah, you may get the occasional 5 or 6 minutes here from a DeAndre Jordan. But really, it's going to be Reggie Jackson, it's going to be Christian Brown, and it's going to be Peyton Watson. You know, the hope, assuming that
right.
He got the wake-up call and this little mini slump that he's been in, that he moves on from that and he can be relied upon. But and the big benefit that the Nuggets have when it comes to the playoffs and their bench, it's not like they need their bench to come in and score 30 points. You know, it's not like right. the bench has to come in and score 22 points, you know, bench scoring. You know, they flash the graphic in the game. You know, the Nuggets bench is outscoring the Suns bench 22-10. You don't necessarily, you'd love to have it. And if you get that, I mean, it's game over, man. But this is a bench that just come in, provide energy, defense,
mm-hmm.
create some turnovers, right. grab some rebounds, and scoring is gravy.
The biggest thing off the bench for me is energy.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things Michael Malone said when he was making an example out of Christian Brown so that Peyton Watson could hear it. And what was that example? One thing I know about Christian Brown, he's right. going to come in, provide energy, he's going to play his ass off. He's going to play hard. And he's essentially saying, hey, Peyton, like, quit moping. Don't have your head down. You come out there and play that way, good things will eventually happen to you. And there were times where Christian Brown couldn't knock down a shot.
Well,
he was knocking down shots.
He went through his own slump mid-season and came out of
it. But he still got his minutes because he still played his butt off. He plays hard.
Somebody asked, who is the dog on this bench? Bruce Brown was a dog. I think Christian Brown.
You watch Christian Brown play?
I think Christian Brown's got some dog in him. Yeah.
There ain't no question.
Yeah.
Even last year in the playoff series, man, when they needed tough minutes, when they needed him to guard maybe the premier player on the other, you know, the premier scorer on the other side of the court, dude, he was up to that challenge. He's been up to that challenge every time. Christian Brown's a damn good player. And he's got, there's no question he's got dog in him. There you go.
Papa Murphy's, Home of Take a Bake Tuesdays and $5 Fridays. This is KKFN, KKFN HD1.